For Julia Pendle, the rite of passage into young adulthood included mandatory service at her family's restaurant, where she watched as her father, who was also the chef, ruled with the strictness of a drill sergeant. At age 12, Julia was initiated into the rite of the Sunday brunch, a weekly madhouse at her father's Milwaukee-based restaurant, where she and her eight older siblings before her did service in a situation of controlled chaos, learning life lessons that would shape them for all the years to come. Her book is Memoir of the Sunday Brunch. It is published by Algonquin, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Julia Pendle to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Very nice to have you here. It's a lovely book. It is a very fun story, a very interesting story. Give us a sense at what point you decided that you wanted to tell your tale of working in this business with your family.
Well, I always wanted to tell the tale. I knew right away, and I think it's pretty evident from the beginning of the book, that my dad was sort of a character that was, I suspected he was worthy of being in a book. So he, from a very young age, I started paying attention to the crazy things he did, especially on Sundays, because it was our busiest day of the week. So from there, the stories were just told and retold over time, and I sort of filed them away and decided at one point, I think I'll put these down in a book. So that's kind of how it came to be.
So as I mentioned, at 12 years old, you sort of get this initiation, but you knew it was coming. This is what all of your siblings had gone through and went through after you, right?
Well, it turns out my siblings were not a real heads-up kind of bunch. So I was a little shocked my first day of work to find out that my dad was not the same guy he was every other day of the week when I saw him at home. So they just, for whatever reason, it didn't occur to them to say things to me like, hey, by the way, you know, Dad's a little scary on Sundays. I think it was just because the restaurant was such a part of the fabric of our family that it just didn't enter their minds to mention it to me. So day one was a little like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you say
how did he get so mean?
You say, I thought my father was just like every other dad until the day I worked my first Sunday brunch. So what happened on that day? And I guess it's like many of us seeing our parents in a professional environment.
Yeah, I don't think many people get to do that. I mean, if your dad's an orthopedic surgeon, you're obviously not going to work with him. So on first day, let's hope not. on my first day, he just, you know, he went from this person who read me stories at night and tucked me in to the person he was at work. And it was demanding and intense. And he, you know, he expected as much or more from us, even at 12, than he did from anybody else. So I sort of went from being his baby to just another employee who had to get the job done.
Was there a Ralph and Sam kind of quality to that in the sense of and I'm referring to the Warner Brothers cartoon where the wolf and the sheepdog show up, they clock in, and then they go after and try to kill each other, and then they clock out at the end of the day and say, you know, good night, Ralph, good night, Sam. So was that kind of the environment, or would then after 12 and into your teens that the relationship fundamentally changed both in the restaurant and out?
I think the restaurant, we were able to sort of put it in its place. You know, we all had the ability to go to work and get through whatever happened there, you know, in the course of serving however many people we were serving, and go home and laugh about it. And I think what it did in the end was it provided us with the relationship that we have, because we all spent so much time together, and when you're in the trenches with somebody like that, you inevitably, on the other side, after you've clocked out, want to sit down and talk about it. But we were able to kind of leave leave the intensity behind and come home and have a few laughs, especially my dad and I. So,
isn't there a certain pressure, or I guess I'll use the word pressure, of being the neighborhood restaurant?
Oh, yeah. A little bit. I mean, when your name's on the building, people know who you are. And when you go into a store and you buy a pair of shoes, or you even still, when I, if you use a credit card and somebody sees your name, people inevitably want to the experience they had at the restaurant, whether it was, you know, good or bad or whatever. Thankfully, it's mostly, but yeah, there is mostly a little bit of that. We get to hear a lot of, you get comments in your daily life, whether you want them or not. So,
and
now with the book, I sort of set myself up for it. So I get comments all the time now.
Well, sure. Because I was thinking, because that type of place, and especially with Sunday brunches that you talk about, is it's where we go to spend as patrons. It's where we go to spend our some of our most important events. So if grandmother is celebrating her 80th birthday, or if it's an engagement or whatever the case may be, you will look for a place like that to go and to celebrate that special occasion.
Right, and I get people telling me that all the time. You know, I had my wedding reception there, or we had my parents' wedding anniversary or birthdays, or, and even in my family, we had, you know, I think my family had 7 weddings there. So it was definitely the place to have a party. And that's, you know, it's good. People have a lot of fond memories of the place. And I get, you know, I have people walking up to me all the time telling me, you know, what a nice time they had at this baptism or brunch or whatever it was. So, you know, it sort of lives on, despite the fact that it's closed, it lives on in you know, people's memories, because we were there at very important times in their lives, very important occasions.
You write about the end of your father's life and in dealing with that, and how you became very, very involved and I mean, obviously, I assume it was those formative years and those times working in the kitchen that allowed that relationship to be as strong in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think ultimately what it boiled down to was trust. And we had this working relationship, and we all did, with our dad. And he was able to trust us on a professional level, and in the end he found his way to trusting us, you know, with helping him die. And it turned out to be it was a big deal. It's not something you see every day. You know, people have a hard time letting their kids sort of take the reins at the end, but he was able to do it, and I think it was because of everything we went through working together over the years.
Well, and especially a man of your father's generation, who was used to being the guy in charge.
Right, right. Yeah, it was kind of amazing. I mean, I still look back and I wonder how it looked easy. He made it look easy to just say, okay, you kids are in charge and you can make the decisions about how we're going to do this. I mean, obviously, we consulted him on what was going to be
sure.
done towards the end of his life. But, you know, he was just great about letting us make plans and letting us just kind of move in and be involved. And it was really a beautiful thing to see, not something that you see all the time. And especially now, you know, my parents both died. Well, my dad wasn't too young, but my mom was fairly young, and a lot of my friends still have their parents, and I see, you know, I see them going through the same thing, and I'm realizing that we had sort of a unique experience.
Yeah, you know? A very special experience. When you,
yeah.
Was there ever a discussion through any of you to go into the restaurant business?
Oh, yeah, there were 5 of us in it at one point, and I still have 2 brothers that still own a restaurant in Milwaukee, and I still have my toe in the industry. I'm just not directly in the restaurant business. I work for a food service distributor here in Milwaukee. So, yeah, at one point we had a catering division, and my sister and I worked there, and two brothers and another sister worked at the restaurant.
So it's always a part of your life.
Yeah, I think it always will be. You know, there's still a business in existence, and, you know, the good news is we all know how to cook. So we have really good food during the holidays.
If there's nothing else, you know how to cook.
We all know how to cook.
And especially brunch stuff.
Yeah, we all know how to do brunch stuff, and we all know how to entertain. So we have very nice parties. That's one of the great things that comes out of it. So.
And we were talking this earlier about the book, but pancakes are hard, aren't they?
Pancakes are hard.
Aren't they? I mean, to make, yeah. I mean, a lot can go wrong in the making of a pancake.
Well, usually what goes wrong is their pan's too hot and they don't cook them long enough.
All right.
They get too brown and then they're not done in the middle. But once you figure that out, I think they're okay.
You can knock them out pretty easy?
Yeah, you can knock them out pretty easily, yeah.
It takes a skilled human. Yeah, it's a very fun and funny, sad, sweet, and inspiring, as it says on the jacket of the book. Julia Pendle's Memoir of the Sunday Brunch. It's published by Algonquin Paperbacks. Julia, thank you very much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you aboard.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have Thanks a wonderful holiday
me.
Season. Thank you very much.
You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.